Hello, everyone. My name is Anthony Bell. I currently serve as a deacon at the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church under the pastorship of Dr. Michael Andrew Owens. Last time I talked to you, I came talking about Jesus telling his disciples that the way to show you are a disciple of Jesus was by showing love to the brethren. And we use as our text, or as our scripture, John chapter 13, verse 35. What I'd like to do is just expand a little bit on that principle of walking in Christian love by talking about our everyday Christian love. In that great theological book of Romans, chapter 12, we find these words. Let me read that scripture for you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. Paul, in talking to the Roman church, was pleading with them, even begging them, to drop the pattern of this world and to adopt and live by God's standards. What are some of the patterns or things we find in a godly or in a worldly lifestyle? In a worldly lifestyle, we find things like greed, hypocrisy, selfishness, moral decay, lying, being deceitful, insincere worship, serving false idols instead of serving the true and living God. When we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit, which included gifts for us to show our love for God and our love for our fellow man. Those gifts which we exhibit and live by tells the world that we are saved. As we are reading that chapter in Romans, further down in the chapter, he tells us that not to be self-absorbed or filled with pride. He says, love sincerely, hate evil, and do good. And again, Paul is talking about living a godly life among our brethren here on earth. He further tells us to be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. Paul wanted the Romans to live and show Christ-like characteristics in their and our everyday lives. And as Paul said in the first verse, that is not something unusual. All that is your reasonable service. Let me give you one more example. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, the B portion of that verse, Paul tells Timothy, set an example for the believers in speech, conduct, love, in faith, and in purity. That's worth saying again. Paul tells Timothy, set an example for the believers in speech, how we talk, conduct, how we walk and live, love, faith, and in purity. Brothers and sisters, what we say matters. How we live matters. how we talk and live matters. The Bible goes on to say we as Christians have been bought with a price. Therefore, we need to honor our God with our bodies. And we find that scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. Let me say that again. We as Christians have been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with our bodies. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20. I hope what I've said has been a blessing to you. Thank you, and God bless.
Good afternoon. I am Vicki Lee. Please close your eyes and bow your head, and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us. Thank you for grace, for mercy, for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for protection. Thank you for leading and guiding us. Thank you, Lord, for unfailing love. And most of all, thank you for being our Savior. Father, we ask you to forgive us for our sins, known and unknown, and give us, implant in our hearts and our minds, the desire, Lord, to serve you as we serve others. Lord, we ask you to bless Pastor Owens right now, and not just Pastor Owens, but all those ministers and people in positions of power. Lead, guide, and direct them in the path that you would have them to go, Lord, to lead, guide, and direct us, Father, so that we can let our light shine for you, Father, so that those that don't know you will come running, wondering what must they do to be saved. Lord, we ask you to bless those that are unfortunate, bless the homeless, those that are incarcerated, those that are hospitalized, and Lord, please, Lord, bless the bereaved families. Heavenly Father, comfort them and guide them and be with them right now. Lord, in this world of crisis where we're experiencing so many things, Lord, we ask you to be our guide in whatever we do. Help us to live in unity. I pray that each one of us will grow in understanding. Help us to love and accept each other as we are, with our strengths and our shortcomings. Lord, we thank you for all the many blessings you bestowed upon us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Lead, guide, and direct us. These and all the blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just wanna make it to heaven. I just wanna make it in. Oh, I just wanna cross that river. My Lord, I wanna be free from sin. Oh, I just want my name. When this life is over, just wanna have eternal life.
Amen. Good morning to my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, and this is Hope is Alive. I'm your brother in Christ, Minister DeCorey Newsom, and I'm here to bring you the gospel message today. We want to give all praise, glory, and honor to our one true living God, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost. And we just want to give honorable mention to Dr. Owens, who is under shepherd of this flock in New Hope. And God bless you all, because you are the apple of God's eye, and he loves you very much. So I want to talk today from Matthew 16, verses 13 through 16. And I'll be reading from the NLT version. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" "Well," they replied, "some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." Then he asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Brothers and sisters in Christ, with that, I want to just say I know who he is. All of us have probably experienced or will encounter one of the most daunting questions in the human experience. When someone specifically asks you, "What do people think about me?" Now, depending on who is asking you, you would be reluctant to tell them, and probably pad it with a series of, "Are you sure you want to know, and why do you ask?" depending on how direct you are. Or, two, you would be overjoyed to inform them of what you and the masses think. "Well, since you asked," or, "I didn't want to tell you, but you know that one thing you do." And thirdly, you would or could be so honored and humbled by the person posing the question, you might burst out and say, "I thought you would never ask." According to Psychology Today, the writer states, one of the more enduring fallacies is the idea that what others think of us actually matters. Now, don't get it mistaken, church. It is good to have a social bank account, to be well spoken of, a person that can be trusted, and has a long list of acceptable social moral qualities. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 1, a good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver or gold. But back to these social fallacies, there is some truth in it. If we get so wrapped up in what others think all the time, we are likely to fall into a state of disapproval of ourselves and our God-given mission and develop a Facebook-like disorder. Well, what's that? Well, we're constantly checking the likes, comments, and pokes on our lives and wondering if we are living up to what we are putting out instead of focusing on the one who was disliked, commented against, despised, and rejected. First, Jesus did not come seeking our approval. No, Jesus, as you all know by now, was on a well-planned-out mission to die. So no amount of worldly approval could stop the Savior. Yet, it did not stop Jesus from asking his disciples the question, "Whom do men say that I am?" Well, leading up to the text, Jesus has tested a Canaanite woman's faith in which her request was granted. By the Sea of Galilee, he had the multitude of those who were lame, blind, mute, and maimed brought and laid down at his feet, and he healed them. And, Brother Brown, don't forget that Jesus had the second largest fish fry ever recorded in history. With 7 loaves of white bread and a few little fish, he gave thanks, broke them, and fed 4,000 besides women and children, and still had what we call today as leftovers. Now, we come to chapter 16. Where Jesus has an encounter with the religious legalists, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who come testing Jesus, asking him to show them a sign from heaven, almost to say, "Do a trick for us. Put on a show for us." These unbelieving leaders came seeking a sign from heaven with a heart filled with hell, and with Jesus knowing their heart did not give them a miracle but a message. In Matthew 16, 2 through 4, he uses the signs of the times and their own knowledge against them, saying, "You mean to tell me you can discern the weather? You are modern-day meteorologists, but you cannot discern the signs of the times." Jesus was basically saying, "You're asking for a sign, for a miracle, when I've already been healing the sick, preaching parables, healing withered hands. You saw me heal a dumb man who couldn't speak, and you still persist for a sign?" He said, "A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, And there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah, referring to his own death and resurrection. Afterwards, Jesus departs, and his disciples meet with him and realize, oh, we forgot to bring bread. Due to a slip in their memory, a teachable moment ensues, and Jesus warns his disciples about the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Not that he was scolding them for forgetting physical bread, but heeding them to watch out for the incorrect doctrine that had risen up and spread in them. After all that adventure, we find ourselves at the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and out of nowhere, Jesus hits his boys with the question, who do men say that I am? Well, one might ask, why would Jesus care so much what anyone thinks? He is God in the flesh, after all, isn't he? Indeed, he is, and indeed he does care. But our Lord never does anything just to do it. The location of the question sets the context. Caesarea had a temple dedicated to Caesar Augustus, who brought peace to the Roman Empire, who was therefore called the Prince of Peace by some. It was also the site of worship for the idol Pan, the so-called God of the universe. So Jesus uses this known location to ask his disciples, they know who all these other people are, but who do men say that I am? And see, they knew who Caesar Augustus was. No doubt they knew the false god Pan. And just like today, we know how many points LeBron scored, or we know what's going on with Deion Sanders and HBCUs. We know what's going on with Herschel Walker and Warnock, because just like in Jesus' day, information is still traveling and people are still talking. Jesus had everyone in such a frenzy that people didn't know who he was. For instance, King Herod said in chapter 11, because his conscience was so messed up from executing John the Baptist, he believed that Jesus was John the Baptist, had been raised from the dead, and that's why the miraculous powers were at work in him. Peter said others think he is Elijah, one of the great prophets, but Jesus will go on to say later that Elijah had already come, yet they didn't recognize him. And this, Jesus was speaking of John the Baptist in Matthew 17, verses 12 through 13. Either because of prophecies or plain curiosities, everyone seemed to have an idea who they thought Jesus truly was. And church, I want to ask you, do you know who he is? I hope you don't mind, but if you really know who Jesus is, you will start to change some things. You will start tearing down the idols that sit on the throne of your heart. You will start to flee from fornication in all its forms. You will stay away from any type of sorcery or witchcraft. You start destroying disputes and dissensions and discord. If you know who he really is, you start to drive out envy. You start to get drunk in the Holy Spirit versus drunk all spirits. But if you really know him, gossip has got to go. Backbiting has got to get buried. When you know who Jesus is, you can make up your mind that sin won't rule your life. We make holiness a priority and repentance a non-negotiable. I ask you today, hope is alive. Do you know?
Craig, go in here and watch TV like you're doing. Go in here. Now you have your tickets.
Did we lose a Minister DeCorey? Minister DeCorey? Okay. We're going to go to a song, be right back. Let's see if we can reconnect with Minister DeCorey. That was a good message there.
And we bow down and
And now we're back with Minister DeCorey Newsom.
Hey, man, praise God. Just a quick recap. We were talking about who others think Jesus is. And Peter was saying that some think he is Elijah or another great prophet. But Jesus was going to say later that Elijah had already come, yet they didn't recognize him in this. And that he was speaking of John the Baptist. We also covered if we really know who Jesus is to us, we'll start to change certain things in our lives, like tearing down the idols that sit on the throne of our heart that take the place of God, and we'll start to drive out envy. And I also covered who the Bible says he is, so we don't get wrapped up in so much of our opinion. Genesis 3:15 says he is the seed of woman who will crush the head of the serpent. Isaiah says that Jesus is the promised child of the house of David, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The Bible declares who Jesus is: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. The Bible declares that Jesus is the light of the world, the bread of life. He is the good shepherd who guides our life. And he is also the resurrection and the life, and whoever believes on him will live even when he dies. But can I run down to you who I know him to be? And maybe you can identify with an amen or a hallelujah. Jesus is my author of agony. He is my boss's bloodshed, the carrier of my cares, the destroyer of my darkness, my eternal example. He is a friend of friends and forgiver of all my sins. He is the giver of goodness and grace, my heavy load handler, my invaluable I am. He is my King of kings and Lord of lords, my miraculous Messiah. He's the reason I once was blind, but now I see. He is my oasis amongst chaos. He is my push when I feel like giving up. He didn't quit, so he's qualified. Jesus is my reigning redeemer. He is my shout in the midst of my sorrow. He is my treasure that never tarnishes. He is the ultimate uplifter. He is the reason we have victory over sin. He is the wonderful way maker. He is the real X factor, and he's the one that I yearn for. He is the reason for my zeal. I'm so glad that I know who Jesus is to me. But you have to answer the question for yourself. Do you know him? Like, do you really, really know him? Church, is anybody like me? Maybe your mother and father didn't raise you and you had to cry yourself to sleep and desire their presence. But I got to ask you, has he been a mother for you? I have to ask you, has he been a father for you? Do you know him to be an ever-present help in the time of trouble? Somebody tell me, who do you know him to be? Has he been a teacher for you? Has he been a guide for you? Tell me who you know him to be. Has he been a comfort in your darkest hour? Have you ever been through something traumatic? Have you ever been abused, rejected, and contested and overlooked? And you need to know today that Jesus has been there for you. If you don't know who he is today, if you can't still figure it out, we are here to tell you that he is the one that died to save your soul. Because one Friday, we know that he got on the cross because he knew who he was and he knew what he had to do. They pierced him in the left hand, they pierced him in the right hand, and pierced his feet, and they speared him through the side because he knew who he was and where he was going back to. I ask you today, do you know him? How is your relationship with him? How is your connection with him? I challenge us to
start removing any and everything that stands in the way of us having the same declaration and confession that Peter had. You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And if there's anybody out there that doesn't know that, I pray right now that you will, like all of us believers know, who he is. God bless you.
Thank you, preacher. God bless you. This Thanksgiving today, somebody out there today maybe have heard of Jesus. But I want to give you just a little bit that you just message was a great message, that you can get to know who Jesus is. This is important today that you listen to us on the radio land or wherever you are today to know who Jesus is. The Bible teaches us, God says, he will send the Holy Spirit to help us, to teach you. If you never before, and it teaches us when you accept him, the Holy Spirit illuminates your mind. That means that it lights your mind up so you can know to come to Jesus and come to him just as you are, because he's the one who's going to walk and talk with you, speak to your mind, that you may be illuminated and that you may know he is the Lord. He is your God. They said the greatest question that man asks, where do I go from here? When you get to know God, don't know who Jesus is, you don't have to worry about where do I go from here. Because he told me he's going to prepare a place for me. And if he go prepare a place for me, he will come again and receive me to myself. I want to know who he is. Not only do I want to know, but I want to follow him. I want to be in his family this Thanksgiving. You'll get together and all the families will get together and eat together and stay together. And I pray, hope they pray together. But be one in Jesus so they can have Jesus right in the midst of them as they're calling on him. Lord, help us to know who you are. Help us to know you, Lord. Help us to understand you. Help us to become a child today, a child of God. So we open up the doors of the church today that somebody can come and know who Jesus is and won't have to worry about it. You do that by allowing him to come into your heart and your mind and your soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever believeth should not perish but have eternal life. That's an eternal life when you get to know who he is. That's a very good message to know who Jesus is today. And he will come into your life. And when he comes into your life, you will be a change. Change to what he wants you to be, not what we want to be. Oh, give thanks to the Lord for his good, for his mercy, and do it forever. Come to Jesus today, wherever you are this day. If you've never heard of him, I love the scripture that have been teaching me that the heaven declares the glory. The firmament shows his handiwork. Day after day of the speech. There is no night, no day that he's not heard. Look into the heavens and you can even see how what a greater work he's did. He created it for us, but he's got a better place. That's why we need to know who he is, that we can come to him this day and give him our life and accept him as our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Let me give you a few numbers. Our address is, we are from New Hope Missionaries Baptist Church. And we invite you today to, you can call us. You can, if you need to contact us on the phone, you can put our phone number. Our phone number is 909-887-2526. And our internet is www.newhopemissionarybaptistchurch.org. And our email address is email info@newhopembc.org. Don't go this Thanksgiving. Don't go tomorrow. Don't go today. Call on him today and tell him, Lord, I want you to be my Lord and my Savior. And believe that he died and he rose again and sat at the right hand of the Father. May God bless you and keep you. Thank you. Take my hand.
when my way.
Precious Lord, amen, amen, amen. Hey, this has been Hope is Alive. I want to thank Deacon Anthony Bell, Sister Vicki Lee, Minister DeCorey Newsom with that message, and Reverend Walter Williams. And now, perhaps we have Dr. Owens. Dr. Owens, are you with me?
I am.
Okay, all right. We're gonna make this light for you today. But I do have a few questions for you. I'm sure the audience would love your answers. So anyway, you know, we know the holiday season is approaching us rapidly. And I have a question. People seem to change during the holiday season. Do you think that the holidays bring out the best in people?
You know, I hear that phrase a lot, you know, about whether the holiday brings out the best or the worst, because some people seem to become more giving, more loving, and other people seem to get meaner and have teeth, you know, there, because you get some of both. My thing is, if there's good in you, it's going to come out. And it don't need a secret, and it don't need a reason. It's just in you to do.
Right.
And if you are a cheater, a schemer, if you're just an evil person, that's going to come out too, and a secret ain't going to stop it. Tells all you want to and have all the pretty lights you want to. If you're an evil son of a gun, you're okay. Christmas may going to make you holy. Christmas may compassionate and warm, all of a sudden, no, if you evil, then come out. If you good, if you righteous, if you holy, that's going to come out, and you don't need Christmas to bring it out.
I couldn't agree with you more. Oh, my. Oh, wow. You know, for many, the holidays are a mixed bag of celebration and mourning. What do you say to people who tend to get very, very depressed during this season?
Well, you know, what I recognize, even in my own life, is that the heart has its own memory. We think that it's just what's on our mind
that we're paying attention to in our, you know, that we are paying attention to what's on our minds, to what we feed the intellect. But the heart has its own memory as well. Sometimes when you find yourself depressed or sorrowful and you don't know why, all you have to do is go back to what happened when that perhaps you're not paying attention to right now on the calendar.
Mm.
And your heart will remember that you experienced some trauma, that you lost somebody, that you were going through a struggle. And you'll suddenly realize in your mind a memory of what might have triggered that. And so the holidays has its sorrows as well as its celebrations, and the heart remembers that. So what I tell people is what I tell myself. Focus on the good things. Focus on the positive things.
Mm-hmm.
If you lost a loved one, think about the good times. Remember those. Don't remember, you know, don't focus on you having to walk them through, you know, their last days, you know, when they were weak, when they were suffering, you know, when you had to do everything, when you were the only one who could talk. Focus on when they could talk and the good things you remember they said. Focus on their good humor. Focus on their giving nature. Focus on why they're one of your loved ones. They were one of your loved ones in the first place. And those memories will overshadow the mourning and the suffering that perhaps you had to go through in their loss. Because every person that we love is a gift of love from God. And we want to give God glory for that gift by remembering and embracing and bringing to our recollection why that gift was so precious. It's kind of like counting your blessings, and if you count your blessings and name them one by one, you won't get to your burdens because you got too many, but you're behind in your thank yous anyway. Now, we need to be busy catching up with our thank yous and then, you know, our burdens and our struggles and our complaints and our problems, whatever. You stay busy thinking on the goodness of God, and you won't get around to those things that cause you so much mourning and depression.
You know, I'm laughing because the other day I was thinking, I said, Lord, I haven't thanked you today. So can I throw in a whole bunch of them right now? Can I?
Yeah. Behind, right?
That's right. I was behind, so I want to catch up. I said, let me throw down a whole bunch of them right now.
Thank you for being in California, and then maybe you wouldn't catch up back.
Oh, I knew that was coming. Yeah, I knew it was coming. You know, it's just like when I complain about it getting cold out here, you're right. And you and all the, yeah, well, you decided to move, didn't you? <It's> like,
yeah.
Okay.
I moved from my blessing.
We're going to move right along. This is a fun one. And I know one of your traditions that you love. Okay. What holiday traditions do you look forward to besides eating?
Something else. Well, of course, I love light during the season, and I'm kind of distressed, if you will, that the person I was counting on putting my lights up on the house hasn't responded to my text yet.
You might have to make another call.
Got their lights up. They already blinking. They got the blow-up dolls in the yard. My house is looking like some heathen lives there in the dark. I said, oh, no, we can't have this. I love gift-giving and all of that. But, you know, I'm tired of being broke at Christmas, so I think I'm going to get at Thanksgiving. Done with it. I'm going to get some thankful gifts.
I heard
thank
that.
You. I love you, gifts. Thank you for what you mean to me, gifts. around Thanksgiving, and then maybe Christmas I can buy something for myself.
That's right. Oh, that's too funny. Oh, this is the last one I have for you. Now, how does New Hope plan to be a blessing this year in to the persons in need during these holidays or during this holiday season?
Well, New Hope has some very fine traditions that get amplified in this season. I say amplified because all year long, this church has really shown itself to be a giving, benevolent church, and we respond all year long to the needs and the hurts of people in distress. It's a part of who we are in our ministry. But during this time, we're very intentional about amplifying and ramping up our giving. So just this morning, we announced our participation in the Angel Tree Ministry, which gives gifts to the children of incarcerated persons. And we put a tree out in the lobby that has angel ornaments on it that you can take it and fill out with the names of children, bring back a gift, and then the ministry, the layman's ministry, takes over in providing those gifts to those children. We have harvest time where we used to give away baskets of goods for making a Thanksgiving meal, and now with COVID, we do gift cards. Mm-hmm. and the families come by and get those, and they can go and shop for themselves. And there's a toy drive and give out toys, and deacons lead that during Christmas time. And so it's almost like everybody is just trying to think up ways that they can make people's season really bright and thankful, you know, with necessities.
Not yes.
Just necessities, some things that we want and would just enjoy having. Everybody, has a desire for just things that might just put a smile on your face, not just fill your belly, but put a smile on your face because it's nice to have. You know, that's right. And we know come Christmas time, we like those gifts that we just like putting a smile on our face. So if somebody gives us underwear and we don't eat it, you know, we'd be like, oh, yeah, right. But if somebody gives us that toy we want, that game we want, or that slidey car we want, whatever, you know, we feel like, oh, wow, you really went out of your way. You know, blah, blah, blah. But so we try to meet necessities and smiley face kind of things because it's a time that people should be joyous and happy.
About
necessities, but happy that they got something that they just always wanted.
Hey, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, Dr. Owens, I'm going to bid you good day, but I'd like for you to close our program with a prayer, if you will, sir.
Surely. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your gifts to us, your constant care, Lord God, your faithfulness to supply our every need. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that with thankful hearts, we would glorify you and that we would tell others about the Lord who is our provider. Now, Lord God, stay with us, abide with us, and let the joy of the Lord be our strength. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And ladies and gentlemen, you can listen to Hope is Alive each and every Sunday at noon. That's noon on the West Coast, 3 p.m. on the East. And it's preceded by the Gospel Explosion. And we get started a little early around here on the East Coast. We get started about 10 a.m. here and 7 a.m. on the West Coast. Now, stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen, to Studio W Buzz, Studio W Buzz. Now, we're also available on Alexa now. You can download the app. The app is absolutely free. That's Studio.W for Apple and Studio W for Android. And please go to the website if you want to hear this program again or just share it with someone. Just go to StudioWBuzz.com, StudioWBuzz.com.
Book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Yes, sir. They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst anymore.
Preacher.
For God shall wipe away,
yes, sir,
every tear from their eyes.
Yes, sir.
Get ready for the revolution.
The time, 20th century. The place, China. The martyr, a young girl.
Yeah, they went ahead of us, now the path is straight. And that's so that we can have life past the grave.
We would gather so pastor could season as Christians. We were pleased just to hear the read in the scripture. Cause here in Asia, we can't worship like the states. Cause servants of grace might be murdered for their faith. So we give Christ the praise in secretly. We ain't treated equally. Even on today, our Bible studies yield illegally. It's pastor open to read in the first sentence. Communist soldiers in kitchen doors clean off the hinges. I knew this could happen for accepting his precious gift. They threaten to kill us with guns clutched within the fist. I'm shaking and scared. Even though Jesus is my everything, I don't know if I'm prepared to die at the age of 17. The leading official turned to my pastor and looked, put a gun to his face and told him, hand over the book. He reluctantly handed over the text that he so adored. They laughed as he grabbed it, and it was smashed to the floor. I was truly grieved as I looked in his eyes. He said, any of you can leave if you spit on this book alive. A man walked up, cried as he fell to the floor. Father, forgive me. Leave. Now you can go. I trembled with fear as my mind started to think about death. I leaked with sweat. I thought my heart would beat through my chest. A woman that walked up next spit on the Bible and left. The official shot in the air, continued yelling out threats. I was tempted to do it. I just wanted to leave. The moment I thought this, I felt overwhelmingly grieved. I gritted my teeth. Tears began to stream down my face. I needed some faith. I just started to think on his grace. In my head, I said, forget it. As I walked from the text, kneeled to the floor, wiped and spit off the Bible with my dress. Delivered Christ to die's game. Ain't a popular song. I prayed, Father, forgive him as I was shot in the dome.
The time, 1536. The place, outside of Brussels. The martyr, William Tyndale.
I refuse to look to John Huss whose goose was cooked. Lord, I wanna put your truth in books. Not concerning my faith, no turning away. I know eternity awaits, even if I'm burned at the stake. Like avoiding their attacks on me would profit me. Great whore, that could be properly the papacy and prophecy. They say the Pope's the holiest. Only if these people could see its phoniness. It's scripturally erroneous. The Pope of men fail of respect. They wanna seek death to William Tyndale. So then I inhale a deep breath. Two doors, my hands pushed as I stride inside. I was grabbed by men hiding it. An ambush. I was sabotaged. He was disguised and camouflaged as a friend of me. I didn't know he was the enemy, not too discerning. I see this group is yearning with ill will to kill Bill like Uma Thurman. It's a chaotic frenzy. If they plot against me, hey, if God defends me or ends me, he'll soon determine. Now I plead for these people. They grieve your cathedral. I don't want to repay evil for evil. When I'm weak, I'm made strong. Got my brave face on. But sheep for the slaughter being killed all the day long. I'll never be a man pleaser. No matter how tight the grip of the hand squeezes. I can't breathe, I stand with Jesus. Even if plans and grievances, they try to put me to sleep like anesthesia. Now I'm gagging and gasping, I'm sold out for you. No doubt this news won't choke out the truth and leave a lasting legacy. Cats who would never read your word after the death of me. Cats can cleverly get past the heresy and grab for this weaponry. This sword now, Lord, I pass to the heavenlies.
The time. Approximately 100 A.D. The place, Rome. The martyr, Anonymous.
My wrists bleed from the shackles as I get dragged in the gravel. My ribs hurt, was arrested and tackled. Snatched up, I was preaching. Pulled in a pack, beat for the God that I stand for. A young man, I'm a Roman, version of Daniel. Yo, I gotta be an example. Seized by the decree of the emperor's panel to kill Christians in all of the land. So, yo, now they got me tied up, tugged, getting trampled. Fall to my death while they chant, yo. No gospel, Christ is a scandal. The mob screams as I'm violently handled. But I am a sample, a grace that is ample. The same though the pain isn't canceled. Strained as I'm maimed by the rage of the grapple. Each swing hurting me more than the last blow. Kicked by the sandals, struck by the rhymes. Cracked from the whips in the hands of the gods. Mocked by the people, they bask in the evil. Storing up wrath in the path of my God. But I, what a relief it is to be in Jesus. Even beaten, if Christ is the reason. Pulled to the center of Rome, a crowd beating. Chant for my death and indict me with treason. I get tied to a pole by a soldier. Shaped like a ogre. Rope round my legs and rope round my shoulders. He signals his boy and he yells out, yo, yo, I'll bring the torch over. So now I'm facing the blaze. Facing the pain. By grace, putting faith in his name. He says, last call for a recant. I say, we can't. So he ignites me in flames.
The time? Approximately 62 A.D. The place, Jerusalem, the martyr, James, the brother of Jesus.
Sovereign Lord, you're so holy, you know me. I'm nothing but dust and I trust in you only. I see the faces in the crowd below me. I'm standing on the rooftop of the temple and they about to throw me off because I've been causing a major fuss. They call me James the Just, Jesus the name I trust. In the days of his flesh, he was my brother in the physical. I thought that he was crazy, enough that I would ridicule. But since his resurrection, I see he meticulously rules. And next to his perfections, I'm ridiculously minuscule. Astounding, I'm taking a pounding and bruise for him. I look around and see the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. Suddenly I get calm, reminded of God's promise in verse 2 of the 125th Psalm. I hear the obscene chatter, from me no tears or screams scatter, or fears are getting my spleen splattered. Christ is supreme, so extreme is the theme of his redeemed team. By no means is my dream shattered, embracing what is after as I'm facing this disaster. I have to, cause no slave is greater than his master. They told me to deny Jesus and not be an apostle. My response, repent and believe in the gospel. They threw me off the roof for that last phrase spoken. I hit the ground alive with both of my legs broken. They acting so wickedly with no sympathy. My blood flowed vividly. I felt stones hitting me. Yo, inwardly, Jesus gave me peace like Stephen. I reached up to heaven and began to intercede for them. Father, forgive them, though their sin's great and enormous. One of their own